welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Then Chancellor of Washington, D.C.'s public schools, Michelle Rhee, put it this way.
You wake up every morning and you know that kids are getting a really crappy education right now.
So you think that most of the kids here are getting a crappy education right now?
Oh, I don't think they are. I know they are.
She was talking about public schools in the film Waiting for Superman. It's a documentary. It takes issue with how much public schools or with how public schools operate in this nation. Michelle Rhee since has resigned her position and founded an organization intended to spur school reforms nationwide. She joins Ohio Governor John Kasich tonight for a screening of Waiting for Superman as he continues to make his case, Governor Kasich, not Superman, to quadruple the number of private school vouchers in Ohio, bringing that number to about 60,000 over time. Critics have called his plan nothing short of a war on public schools, reducing the flow of funding even as they are asked to do more. What are the pros and cons of private school vouchers and also private charter schools in Ohio? Later on, we'll hear from Chad Aldis. He's the executive director of School Choice Ohio. And also Pete Van Leer. He's senior researcher for Policy Matters Ohio. First, we welcome to the show Betty Moore, the mother of a child who attends a private school in Columbus, thanks to the Ohio Voucher Program. Betty, glad you could join us.
Good morning.
You moved to Michigan about 6 years ago. Your daughter was in kindergarten in a Columbus public school, and you decided to search out the voucher program. What inspired you?
That's correct. Actually, upon moving to Columbus, I immediately enrolled my daughter into the neighborhood school. I'm a very hands-on parent, so I took a lot of time going up to the school to volunteer, work in the classrooms and things like that. And just from what I observed academically and as far as the staff, teachers having to deal with discipline problems as opposed to being able to teach was disturbing to me. Not to say that in the private school sector that you don't have, you know, any type of discipline issues, but what I found, because I have two daughters, I have an older daughter that's in college, when you have kids that, when you have a large parent participation within the school system and you attend a school that has a very large parent participation, it seems to be, you know, a lot lower risk of teachers having to deal with constant discipline issues. So it's not taken away from the education. I was informed about the voucher program through another parent whose daughter also was in my daughter's class. And from that point, I just started doing some research and getting information on it and started searching the schools that were researching the schools that were on the list that accepted the voucher. And that's how it all began for me.
When you decided to participate in the program, tell us what the process was. I understand first you have to be have your child accepted at a school that is qualified to take the vouchers.
That's correct. What I did, I got on EdChoice's website and I researched what schools did accept the voucher program. From that, I did my research on those different schools. Once I selected schools that I thought would meet my daughter's needs, I took her to the school, applied, had, you know, tested. Once she was accepted, from that point on, I continued the process of filling out the paperwork that was necessary for her to apply for the voucher, which the schools have that paperwork right there on hand.
The ones that qualify.
Correct.
When you, one of the other requirements is that the school that she was attending is either failing or struggling academically.
That's correct. The requirement for the kids to even qualify for the voucher program is that the school that is their neighborhood school has to be considered academic emergency. And the way that they end up on that academic emergency list is by not meeting the state standards 3 years in a row, which was one of the things that I found out later in regards to the school that she was attending.
At this point, if you wanted your daughter to change schools, could she? Could you send her to a different private school that qualifies for the voucher program?
Oh, yes. Yes.
She would just have to be accepted.
Exactly.
And how much do you get per year as part of the voucher program?
She's in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
It goes by different age levels,
okay.
Elementary, middle school, high school.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth elementary students receive a little over $4,200.
And does that pay the full price for the school that she attends?
At the time when I first enrolled her, it did up until this current school year.
Mm-hmm.
I have a minimum payment that I have to make now,
mm-hmm.
but it's very well worth it.
Can you tell us how much you pay extra?
It's an additional $490.
For the year?
Yes. But there are other schools where it totally covers everything the voucher does.
Did you have any trepidations about leaving behind the school that she was attending and the idea that, you know, you were abandoning the public school?
Yes, I did. My older daughter, again, she's away at college. When we were in Michigan, we attended a public school. The difference with that was we attended what was called school choice. It was still a Detroit public school, but I guess here it's considered more like an alternative school.
Okay.
So we applied. Luckily, she was one of the students that was accepted. Again, it was an empowerment school, which means the principal and all that had control over how things were ran.
It's probably a charter school in Michigan. I know their charter system is much more extensive.
Well, no, it wasn't a charter school.
Oh, it wasn't,
school.
Okay.
It was part of Detroit public school. It was, I guess it would be along the same lines, again, as Columbus Public's alternative school.
Okay.
It's like a lottery thing. You have to be chosen.
Okay.
To attend the school. And so from elementary all the way through high school, she did attend a Detroit public school. But once again, it was what they consider as an empowerment school. So you had, again, a high parent participation. Principals had more control over how things were ran
mm-hmm.
within the school. So it was basically on the same line as what you would receive from a private school.
My guest is Betty Moore. She's the mother of a child who attends a private school in Columbus thanks to the Ohio Voucher Program. If you have a question for Betty, please get them in quickly. Betty will be with us for about another 6 or 7 minutes. Our number is 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. As far as you've mentioned a couple times the value you place on parental participation and how when parents are more involved with their schools and more parents are involved in the schools, the things like discipline problems tend to be less of an issue. As you pointed out, there is no such thing as a utopia school yet. The disciplines issues are everywhere. But are you concerned about the kids that you know that have been left behind because maybe their parents aren't as involved?
Yes, that does worry me. I mean, again, I know within the public school system, you can't force parents to participate. As, you know, with the school that my daughter attends,
mm-hmm.
parents are required to do so many hours, well, 30 hours of volunteer each school year.
Mm-hmm.
Where, again, I do understand that can't be enforced in the public school system. But, you know, it to me, it helps. It helps show the unity between families and the school system and the teachers, and it gives the teachers that support that they need when you're seeing the parents up there greatly involved and, you know, they know what's going on as opposed to a daycare program.
Mm-hmm.
Just dropping your child off for school and picking them up at the end of the day. So it does worry me. I wish there was some way that the public school system could implement that. I think that would help greatly
mm-hmm.
with, you know, some of the issues that are going on in the public school. But unfortunately, you know, that's something that, you know, they really can't. I don't see any real way that they can enforce.
Rich and Bexley, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was just curious if there's a, you know, like a minimum income or a maximum income requirement for recipients of the vouchers, if you have to qualify it based on the parent's income, or if it's available to everyone equally.
It's available to everyone equal. No, there's no income requirement at all.
Okay, Rich.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And we had a caller, Steve. He asked if vouchers could be used for religious or parochial schools, and I know that your daughter attends.
Yes, she attends a Catholic school.
So, yes, in fact, that there are a lot of the qualified schools are Catholic schools or religious schools, right?
Yes, there's a very diverse list of schools on the voucher program.
Have you noticed more diversity over time? There are some limits on the number of charter schools that can be created in the state of Ohio right now. Have you noticed any changes over what's available out there?
Not necessarily. I haven't been on the list in probably, I haven't looked at it in probably a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not really. I mean, I've noticed an increase. Schools that weren't taking it before that I had checked into that are taking it now. So just slight, like I said, but it's been about a couple of years since I looked at the list.
Are you, when you first looked at the list, your daughter doesn't attend Catholic school necessarily because you're Catholic.
Correct.
Did you feel like there were enough non-religious schools out there to meet the demand for folks who may not want to have their kids going to a religious school of any stripe?
At the time, no, it was low.
Mm-hmm.
It was a low number of schools that was on there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as right now, again, I'm not.
You're not
quite sure. Did
you check on things when you went to the school? Did you just assume that it was going to be more controlled environment because it was a Catholic school, or because there's more parental involvement? Did you check how the school was also measuring up academically?
Yes, I did. I considered all of that. I actually took advice also from other people in the area that had attended the school.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I looked at that all the way around as far as the academics and again, the parent involvement, mm-hmm. and just the overall, you know, control that the school had itself.
Betty Moore, what kind of advice would you give other parents out there considering the voucher program now or in the future? What do you think are some things they ought to know before they embark on that educational adventure?
Again, do your research. If it is the fact that your child is attending a school that's an academic emergency, our first responsibility as a parent is to our children. I mean, again, you hate to see the other kids that's left behind, but your first responsibility is to your own child. And take a look at the list. Do the research to see what it is that would best fit your family. You know, compare to different schools before you just choose one.
Okay, that's Betty Moore. She's the mother of a child who attends a private school in Columbus thanks to the Ohio Voucher Program. And Betty, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
When we return, we will be joined by two points of view regarding school vouchers and charter schools in Ohio. Chad Aldis, the executive director of School Choice Ohio, and also Pete Van Leer. He's senior researcher for Policy Matters Ohio. Betty, thanks again. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and you can discover more about All Sides with Ann Fisher online at WOSU.org/allsides. You can listen to new and archived shows from all the guests and topics. You can also find All Sides on Facebook and Twitter, subscribe to podcasts, and preview upcoming programs. Discover more about All Sides with Ann Fisher at WOSU.org/allsides.
Support for WOSU 89.7 comes from the Women's Fund of Central Ohio, presenting Goldie Hawn for the 2011 Keyholder event on May 11th at the Ohio Theater. Tickets and more information online at womensfundcentralohio.org.
It's 37 degrees in downtown Columbus, a chance of some light snow early this afternoon, cloudy skies for the rest of the day, a high of 41. Clouds tonight and a low of 27 degrees, partly sunny for Thursday and a high of 45. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. We're talking about plans by Governor John Kasich to quadruple the state's support of Ohio's private school voucher program and also to make it easier for charter school startups in Ohio. To our listeners, if you call or write, tell us immediately if you support or oppose such a plan and why. And if you're sitting on the fence about it, we want to know that too. We just want to make sure with a controversial subject, as always, that we have as much balance as possible. 614-292-8513 is the number to call, and you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Joining us now is Chad Aldis. Chad is the executive director of School Choice Ohio. It's an organization created to protect and expand the educational options available to Ohio students. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Thank you, Anne. Good morning.
And on the phone with us is Pete Van Leer. He's senior researcher for Policy Matters Ohio, a nonpartisan, nonprofit state policy research center. Previously, Pete covered education in Ohio for the magazine Catalyst. Pete, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
Chad, you also, well, the governor's education advisor, Robert Summers, told the Columbus Dispatch that, quote, we currently have schools that are ineffective, and we believe parents should have options that don't require them to keep a child in a failing school system. Pete, what's wrong with that statement? Why shouldn't parents have a choice to take their kids out of a failing school?
Well, I think there's different ways of looking at it. I mean, I think there is an argument to be made for choice, and certainly there are already choices within the public system without relying on vouchers, for starters. But I also think we often lose sight of what's happening in a lot of areas where you have, there are schools that do really well with serving disadvantaged students, but I think we don't often really look at the big picture, the broader environment of how we're, what the challenges are and the connection between, social and economic disadvantage and school achievement. I think we need to focus on that, and that's something we haven't really done.
What about the larger system, Chad? Is the goal, the ultimate goal, for instance, of School Choice Ohio, perhaps to make all children the beneficiaries of a voucher program or a charter school system?
No, that really the goal of School Choice Ohio is just to make sure that every parent has the ability to determine what that school is that best serves their students' needs, their child's needs. Right now you have situations where most families have a choice. They either buy a house in the school district where they want their children to go to school, they write a check to private school, but that's been going on for decades. But then there's a lot of families who usually because of financial means have their neighborhood school, and when that's working, it's perfect. When it's not, that's where options become so important for families.
How big a role does it play to have more charter schools in Ohio?
The charter schools in Ohio, as you've probably seen from the numbers, have gone up over the last 10 years to where this year they're serving over 100,000 students. That is a lot of students in a lot of different learning environments, And I think there's been a lot of benefits to students in the program. Taking off caps, especially in terms of the really high-quality charter schools, to make sure those systems that are working, those environments where kids are really progressing, have the opportunity to grow without artificial limitations, is an important improvement.
As we mentioned, Governor Kasich's plan would also end certain bans on charter schools, I guess ostensibly broadening the pool qualified to participate in the voucher program. Are you convinced that a charter automatically offers a better education than the traditional public school, Chad?
Oh, no, definitely not. I think we get into a bit of a problem when, and I think Pete made a great point that we need to look at the overall picture. We get into a problem when we say one system is inherently better than the other. I just don't believe that's the case. I think the parent you had on earlier did a great job of saying exactly how she looked at the individual situation about what worked for her daughter. And we would certainly encourage all parents to do the same thing because it varies widely.
Pete, are you comfortable that most people see it that way, that they know that charter schools aren't necessarily better than the public school their children might already be in?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people do that I talk to seem to realize that there's only a relative handful of really good charter schools that are mm-hmm. providing that sort of new educational model. But I think when you look at the public policies that are being put forward here in Ohio and elsewhere, there doesn't seem to be awareness of that. When you start talking about just lifting caps and allowing more charters to start more easily, I think that gets really problematic in terms of public policy because so many of the schools are not serving their children well, and it's sort of they're good at marketing and not a whole lot else. So I think it should be harder to start a charter school. You should have a really amazing track record, you know, of an effective or excellent school. All of the schools, you know, that a particular operator runs should be doing a good job before, you know, the state gives a go-ahead to start a new school. And there are also a lot of problems, and I know Chad probably is aware of this, of in terms of oversight in the charter school sector. The sponsor system in Ohio does not work well. So there's a lot of strange incentives that are really making the charter option here a less than, you know, healthy option for many kids.
Now, Chad, oversight for charter schools comes out of the Ohio Department of Education, right?
That's correct.
Which has just been, is going to have its budget cut something, at least 10%, maybe more, maybe a little less, actually. We don't know yet because the budget's still working its way through the General Assembly. But are you confident that there now is enough oversight of charter schools to adequately monitor the universe out there for people who might avail themselves of vouchers?
Well, I think the governor's proposal has he's placed a strong emphasis on schools that work, on schools that are performing well, and whether students are being well served. And that has to be in practice and not just in words. So I'm encouraged by the idea, and the ideas put in place a couple of years ago for mandatory closure of, for instance, a charter school that's not performing well. That's absolutely essential. Making sure the public has great information on those schools, public schools, charter schools, private schools that participate in the voucher programs, as much information as possible on student performance, on long-term outcomes. That's an essential part of the debate, and I don't think anyone who values quality education should run from that argument.
Should charter schools have to prove themselves first, though, before they qualify for the voucher program?
Well, there's a little bit of charter schools, as is found in the newspapers and discussion, actually refer to public schools that are community schools. The confusion in Ohio comes in because private schools, what are typically called private schools everywhere else in the country, here are called chartered non-public schools.
Right.
So certainly any private school that participates in the state voucher program as a chartered non-public school has to meet all the state requirements to be a non-public school in the state. And that's very essential, and that should continue.
But those requirements don't necessarily require a track record, do they, Pete?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, they need to go through the chartering process, as Chad has said, but there's no real tracking of how these schools are doing and what kind of services they're providing for the children they already serve. If you look, you know, everybody sort of makes an assumption that private schools are somehow better than public schools. But if you look at some national research that's been done, that's not necessarily the case, particularly when you're looking at how they serve low-income students. So I think there's some real issues about, you know, what how this is a good public policy push. Does it really serve the children it's supposed to be serving?
My guests are Chad Aldis in the studio. He's executive director of School Choice Ohio, and on the phone, Pete Van Leer, senior researcher for Policy Matters Ohio. If you have a question or comment, we welcome them. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Katie. She says she opposes the vouchers. She says, my main problem with the voucher programs is that the alternative to low-performing public schools seems to be private schools that include the instruction of some sort of religion. I know that not all private schools are religious, but the majority are. I know that Republicans feel that vouchers are a free market solution to underperforming public schools. However, I am suspect of the right-wing politicians forcing religion on children and parents. Chad, are you comfortable that there's a broad enough spectrum of available voucher schools out there or voucher qualified schools out there for folks like Katie who don't want the religious element?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think every family has to actually look when considering the educational placement of their child of what works for them. There will be people that the voucher program, because historically Ohio's private schools have largely been religious, mm-hmm. new schools aren't just going to be created that are not religious out of nowhere. So typically most private non-public schools are going to be religious in nature. Not all of them, but so I understand her concerns. Fortunately, that might be where the community schools or charter schools come in, because all of those are public schools. None of them have any religious basis whatsoever. They're not allowed to. So you know, from our perspective of our organization, we believe parents should have a wide variety of options.
I just wanted to get back to that idea, though, that a charter non-public that meets the qualifications of the state, in other words, it has it's bonded, it's this and it's that, and it's got, you know, whatever, it has this place to go and a building and that kind of a thing, they don't have to have a track record. In other words, they don't have to be in business for any period of time before they're qualified for it, right? So when someone sends their child to a brand new charter school, there's no way of knowing if the education they're going to get ultimately is any better than what they left behind.
In terms of the private schools that participate in the state voucher
right.
programs, the chartering process for those schools does require an application process to the State Board of Education. Now, we can all debate whether that's enough stuff in terms of what the state board requires of a private school to operate in the state of Ohio. In general, nationally, Ohio's standards are probably the most rigorous for their non-public schools. But then there's anywhere from a 1 to 3 year process for a private school to achieve that chartered status. A school can't open currently under current law and serve voucher students their first year. So there is a bit of a track record, and parents should absolutely be the consumer in this transaction and ask questions and make sure that it's the right fit for their child and the school is you know, serving students well.
Okay. Michael from Dublin, you support vouchers. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm actually a teacher, and I was just calling in to comment that one of the requirements that you guys are discussing actually creates a natural monopoly for people who are actually running unsuccessful charters. One of the requirements you guys mentioned was the idea that people already had to have a history of running charter schools, and what that does is it disenfranchises parents and teachers who wish to try to change the framework in which schools operate.
What do you think about the idea that school districts have the opportunity to sponsor charter schools that could, in other words, they would have that backdrop of the establishment without the, you know,
See, that's still a line between the have and have not. The people who are already unsuccessfully running public schools are then the only people who are empowered to create charter schools. And what it does is it actually subverts the intention of the law, which is to give more power to parents and teachers.
Do you feel comfortable, though, as a parent sending your kid to a school that doesn't have a track record? So you can't check and see what their scores were, you know, the previous couple years, for instance.
Well, it's not necessarily about a track record, but it's about the way in which the school goes about doing the work they do. Mm-hmm. Certainly, if you give them a shot and they're doing a good job, they're going to create a track record.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the nice thing about vouchers is the fact that people have a choice about whether or not they want to go. I certainly would rather send my child to a school that doesn't have as much of a track record, but also doesn't have the history of violence that exists within some of the Columbus public schools, specifically the fact or the fear of sending your daughter to school and having her raped while classes are in session.
Okay. Well, Michael, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
If you'd like to give us a call, 614-292-8513. We welcome your questions or comments. We're talking about vouchers and charter schools in the state of Ohio and the governor's plan to expand the numbers in both SCORE. Bill from Clinton Township, you said you're neutral on the issue of vouchers and charters. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I guess in retrospect, I can't claim anybody could be neutral on most subjects, but I'll do my best.
Okay, Bill. Thank you.
The idea, first question, it's my understanding, and I haven't listened to 100% of the previous callers,
mm-hmm.
my understanding that the charter schools, the voucher schools, and the neighborhood schools, public schools, all take the same statewide tests. Is that right?
No. Chad?
Yeah. Any student receiving a voucher in the state of Ohio does have to take the state assessment along with traditional public schools and all charter or community schools.
Well, then if a parent is to look at the full, at another school, you see this stuff in the papers, are they required to sort of sit down and study and have an explanation of what their own school is, their neighborhood school is doing as part of this process so that they don't just look at the average? We could have, for example, in one school, 30% of the kids are at advanced, but they've got a lot of slow learners and so forth, and the average looks pretty sick. But if your kid is in the school and a studying kid with a good parent, you may well come out with advanced test scores. Is that sort of information given to these parents as they make the decision to go from school A to school B?
If I may, information is certainly available. To some degree, that information is available. I'm not sure. It probably depends on the school whether it's actually given to a parent. I mean, there are some limitations in the smaller schools about what information gets released. If they have a very small class size and not that many kids are taking the test, they tend to not report test scores at that level because they could identify children. But I think the question goes to the idea of the market, the forces of the market in education, and there's this idea that, if you tell people what's going on, they'll be able to make informed decisions. And, Betty Moore, obviously, was very informed and very careful about what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people aren't going to have the ability to take the time to do that, and especially with charters, and there's this sort of marketing approach to it, where if you get a flashy brochure and you have this dim view of a public school, whether it's right or wrong, you may go with that approach. I think there does need to be more information and better information. Another limitation of the test is that it's third through eighth grade, and then there's one test in high school. Only in certain subjects. I mean, it's not really a good picture. There's no way to get sort of a really good picture for people who aren't going to sort of go to the school and spend time really watching and paying attention and getting good sense of it before they go there.
Chad Aldis?
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything Pete said there. I mean, I think it absolutely is essential if people get as much information as possible. There are some limitations, and nothing beats the kind of research that parents should always do when choosing a school. I mean, very little as important as my child's education. And I've only lived in Ohio 3 years. Before I moved here, I got on the Department of Education's website, and I looked around at information. I looked at school performance. And I thought about the needs of my children, and I decided exactly where I wanted to buy my house, exactly the school district I wanted to live in. And so I exercised that choice. When you're looking at track records and you're a parent who finds himself stuck in a school where either the school isn't performing well or your child isn't performing well, and you know that, they're below potential, that's the situation where school choice becomes so vital.
We have to take another break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion about vouchers and charter schools in the state of Ohio. Governor's planning on expanding both if his budget is passed the way he's presented it. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Supporting 89.7 NPR News is easier than ever when you become a sustaining member. Sign up online at wosu.org/sustainer. As a sustaining member, your donation is automatic, monthly, and ongoing. No more letters in the mail, and your WOSU member card will renew automatically. Every year, we'll confirm your membership, and you can cancel at any time. For as little as $5 per month, you'll be supporting the programs you love. Become a sustaining member now at wosu.org/sustainer.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides with Ann Fisher begins. We'll hear about Governor Kasich's plans to restructure Medicaid in Ohio, with Ohio's Governor's Office of Health Transformation Director Greg Moody. Join us for that discussion at 11 here on 89.7.
Support for 89.7 comes from the estate of Donald R. Glancy, whose life was enriched by public radio and television, and whose bequest seeks to encourage others to discover WOSU Public Media.
Currently 37 degrees in downtown Columbus. There's a chance of some light snow today. Otherwise, cloudy skies, and the high is going to reach up to 41 degrees. Cloudy skies tonight, a low of 27, partly sunny for Thursday, and a high near 45. There's a slight chance of showers Thursday night, a low of 29 degrees, and partly sunny on Friday with a high of 45. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the governor's plans or proposal to expand vouchers and the charter school system in the state of Ohio. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. Let us know where you stand on the issue of vouchers and charter schools if you're going to chat with us about it. And Gloria in Cleveland, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. The reason my granddaughter goes to an excellent charter school, but I still oppose them to public education. It looks like we're dismantling, that's the goal, to dismantle the public school education. Why is it that my granddaughter can have 15 kids in her classroom when they get less money, and we still, after 30 years, are not putting the significant amount of attention to fixing at least Cleveland public schools? It seems like that is the goal, to dismantle public education, and 25 years down the road, it will be private.
Pete, in your analysis that I read, Pete Van Leer, you say the state increases funding by 1% from 2011 to 2012 and by another 1.4% the following school year, but that's offset by other decreases.
Right. I mean, that's the general revenue fund. There's some increases, but with other redirection of funds, the state is taking way more money than they're giving. I think the caller Gloria's point is a good one. Like, we are really dismantling the public system that really serves, 90% of Ohio's children, and we do have concerns that that's just, with the governor's proposal, it's funding public education in Ohio at lower than 2003 levels. So how is this progress for us as a state and for our children and for the future of Ohio? Education is so important. And we really need to think about, you look at the voucher programs and expanding them as the governor is proposing, and as there's also a bill in the House, HB 136, it really doesn't take into account, how well are they working. If you look at current test scores, the voucher programs, the school voucher programs, are not doing that well compared to the public schools.
What about the funding for public schools? Arguably, kids who have dropped out of school can go to the charter schools and use the vouchers, and the voucher schools take on that kind of burden. But by and large, a lot of the burden of educating the hard-to-educate kids in the state still rests with public schools, and yet their funding's being cut.
Right.
I'm sorry. I was asking chat about that, Pete. Sorry.
Sure.
The thing is, a lot of our voucher programs and charter schools are in the areas where we have a lot of economically disadvantaged of families. I mean, they have been centered in our urban areas, in our cities. I'm not aware of any research that has actually broken it down to the student level to show where the students are most, which students are most challenged in which population. I know that, the common argument has been that charters or vouchers are only going to take the very best of the public school students. What we've seen in practice and in places where they've done this analysis, specifically in Florida, where they have a tax credit scholarship program for only low-income students, the students most likely to apply for that program and to use it were the ones who were struggling in their public school.
But also, and I want to get to you, Pete, but it's also going to tend to attract the parents who are most involved in their child's education, which is considered one of the basic factors of success in a child's education. Chad?
Oh, absolutely. Parental involvement is essential, and parental choice allows parents to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
In another study, a recent compilation of studies that was just released, in 10 studies where they did a gold standard type comparison, where they looked at the academic performance of students who received a voucher versus students who applied for the voucher and didn't receive it. So you had the same levels of motivation. In 9 of those studies, the students using the voucher ended up scoring a little better on standardized assessments, usually not major, but modest improvements compared to those who didn't, who applied, wanted the scholarship, and had to stay in their current situation. So,
Pete?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of things to say about this. I mean, those studies did not involve Ohio voucher programs. I mean, the most thorough studies of the Ohio program really was in the Cleveland voucher program. That study stopped in 2004 because the state decided not to continue it. And there they found a lot of students who had attended other private schools, already attending private schools, were starting to use the voucher, and that is almost certainly the case in today's voucher program. So it's not the programs may be in theory directed toward children who are in these low-income areas, but they're being used just to a large degree, 30 to 50% by students who are, already in these schools. So, and the House Bill 136, for instance, which would expand the voucher program, there isn't as much detail on the governor's proposal, mm-hmm. would actually allow that after the first year, would allow current non-public students to apply for the voucher. I mean, so, and you look at the results, and they're just, it's not really there. I mean, special needs, was listening to Peter Raskin on the radio this morning. He's the school's chief in Cleveland. You know, they have 23% district-wide special needs kids. I mean, in charters and vouchers, those numbers are significantly lower. I mean, in terms of the Catholic schools in Cleveland, for instance, and other places in the state, I don't believe that they have really the staff to deal with the special needs kids. So you're, again, sort of shunting some kids off into one system because they are not going to be well served. And then, as you mentioned, you know, that there's a sort of motivation level. We did a study last year on charters and magnet schools and neighborhood schools. And the kindergarten scores, they have this kindergarten assessment, they really were significantly higher for charters and for magnet schools that are run by the district. So people making those choices are, as you say, more engaged with their kids' education. They're looking more for options, and there is an advantage of sort of a selectivity, a self-selection, if you will. In addition to, especially with vouchers, a family can get a voucher and be eligible for a voucher, but they still have to be accepted into a school. And there's evidence that, obviously not everybody's going to get accepted whether or not they have a voucher. It's up to the school to take who they want, and that kid has to, the child has to be accepted. So that's a big issue, that selectivity, both in terms of self-selection as well as selectivity by the school that's accepting the child.
Chad, public school districts have to take on everyone that's brought to them. Private schools don't so far. What do you make of that?
Well, one of the things I wanted to address that I thought is a point that sometimes is put out there related to like special needs students and looking at the current percentages. You know, to say that private school students currently in Cleveland or anywhere else have a lower percentage of students with disabilities, that only makes sense considering there isn't funding associated with that child and child's disabilities. I mean, in the state of Ohio, a public school student gets anywhere between $7,000 and $30,000 for depending on their level of disability. And you know, to compare what's available currently in a non-public school, where the parent is paying all of those funds, and in most cases, we've been very supportive of a special needs voucher that would be similar to Ohio's autism scholarship that would allow the money to follow the child for a student with a disability to open up those opportunities for students with disabilities. And some of the biggest advocates have been some of Ohio's Catholic schools who've really wanted a special needs voucher so they could serve students so that, you know, it would be affordable to serve students with disabilities as well. So I don't think there's a conscious effort to shun students with disabilities, but rather there needs to be a funding associated with it so it can follow the child to the educational environment where the child goes.
614-292-8513. I want to thank Gloria and Bill for their calls recently. And if you want to email us, you can go to allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Patty in Columbus. She has just a question. She said, "We in Central Ohio are lucky in that we have many choices of where to send our children, but how does a voucher system serve those children in rural areas where there isn't much choice of where your children can attend school? How does the new voucher program, I imagine what the governor's proposed, address the needs of smaller districts?" So there's kind of two questions. There's a smaller district question. There's also the rural question, which has been raised before. People in rural areas really don't have a choice, and charter schools probably, if one started up, wouldn't have the economies of scale. There just aren't enough kids.
Right. And one of the governor's proposals could affect smaller and more rural districts in a couple of ways that are pretty clear. First off, the charter school limitations have limited charter schools, you know, which are public schools, to only be created in those environments, mostly in our struggling urban areas for the most part. So with these, we'd have to see what, as you mentioned, the economies of scale would be in terms of whether it would make sense to go, especially in some of the rural districts. But vouchers, the private school vouchers, if there are private schools operating in a lot of small communities around Ohio. Sometimes they're very small schools, but if depending on what the eligibility standards are to qualify for the voucher, if that expands under the governor's plan, and it appears it will be expanding somewhat based upon learning gains and other things, they're actually going to rank all the school buildings in the state of Ohio and expand it from currently about 5% to what looks like about 10% of eligible school buildings. That could, for the first time, impact some smaller and people living in smaller and rural districts.
Carol in Wapakoneta, you oppose vouchers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a couple comments, and I'll try to make it really quickly. One of my concerns is the comment about parents not having choices. In my area, if a local resident does not like our school system, they can get bused to another school that they feel qualifies or handles their child better. And the school pays for that busing every single day. So there is choices out there. The second thing I wanted to say is the funding. You keep talking about funding for special needs. How does that save any money to the state? You're saying part of this is to help save money and to get rid of the bad teachers, but you're asking for more funding for special vouchers. And the other thing is I hear qualify, and it's up to the private schools to accept or not accept a student. To me, it still goes back to it will lead to discrimination against children that are struggling for their education, discrimination against blacks, Hispanics, whatever, and you're forgetting about the child. People don't always have the money, actually in this day and age, to pay more for their children's education. They depend on the public schools. And I think this is going to create more problems than what we have now. Let's fix our school systems and go with that. That's my comments, and I thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Chad, would you like to respond?
Yeah. I can certainly appreciate, and I don't think from our organization's perspective, or even from the larger movement, that I think there's any push to try to get rid of public schools by any stretch of the imagination. It's just certainly not one of our goals. I think we agree with Governor Strickland's comment that public schools will forever serve a large majority of Ohio students. To suggest, though, that that school choice will help will hurt minority students is to forget about the fact that right now students without that are in a particular environment and cannot move and have no choice. There's already a lot of our schools. Traditional public schools by neighborhood, by zip code, are segregated. And there isn't an option barring school choice. I think the caller made a great reference to open enrollment and some of the options moving between school districts that are very important to families. And none of the proposals the governor's had would do anything to change those provisions.
I would disagree to some degree because, well, we did a study on the autism voucher program a few years ago, and what we found was that the people using it tended to be wealthier people in general and from wealthier school districts. There was a very clear pattern, very little participation in rural school districts and to some degree less in even the urban districts, but more in wealthy districts where people were, again, looking for options, but also because some of these schools cost way more than the $20,000 that program provides, they were able to pay anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 extra and we're using that $20,000 voucher. So I think the idea of creating vouchers does have some hazards around discrimination and favoring certain populations. And, you know, it goes against the stated policy goal of serving the most vulnerable, needy children in the state. The other point I'd like to make is that if you look at the track record of vouchers that we have, which is somewhat limited in terms of EdChoice, but certainly not in terms of Cleveland, mm-hmm. where there is a pretty significant participation of people who were already enrolled before they applied for the voucher in the non-public school.
Mm-hmm.
And HB 136, which is the voucher program being put out by the House, mm-hmm. pushed by the House, would allow that to happen after the first year. So just in strictly budget numbers, you're talking about taking money that wasn't, you know, new kids entering the system essentially through the voucher program mm-hmm. and diverting money from the public school system, which is already getting cut down below 2003 levels.
Can we
afford that in Ohio? And I would say the answer is no, that we really need to think about how we best support our public school system.
Okay. I want to thank our guests today, Pete Van Leer, Policy Matters Ohio, and also Chad Aldis of School Choice Ohio. I hope you'll both join us again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete. It's all the time we have on All Sides. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Mm-hmm.